which is not philosophy, which is not science. It's a spiritual experience. That is the nature of spiritual experience. Most of the people may deny, saying, oh, it's all fantasy. Fine. Never try to convince anybody. The reality is what it is. And ultimately, if you are really seeking the best, the highest, you cannot escape it because that is the highest. You can't escape it, and then you will understand it. Not that it is unknowable, it is inconceivable, but not unknowable. There is a difference between the two. It is inconceivable, but knowable. You know it because you are that, actually speaking. That which stands and which moves faster is yourself. This is what the Upanishad says. This is yourself. You, what are you? You are actually this. That you always stand even when there is a constant running. The motion is inconceivable, basically. Really speaking, we don't understand motion, you don't understand time, you don't understand space. These are three things which you think we understand, but you examine them and you find you don't understand. Time we think we understand, this was that 2 minutes ago and this is now here and something else will happen next time. And I think I understand time. Space also I understand. This is one space here, second space here, third space here. I understand. Motion also I understand. I think I am here now and I move this way. Motion. Very easy. You don't require a spiritual experience to tell you that even these three concepts are not conceivable. Without spiritual experience, you can show philosophically that these are inconceivable. When you have time and when you have a curiosity about it, I shall take you to a philosophical way of understanding space, time and motion and show you that it is inconceivable. So even philosophically it is not conceivable, although that which you think it is very conceivable. All the time we are in space, time, causality, motion, all the time. Really speaking, truly, what is motion? Just to take one example. What is motion? This is a mystery. If you have asked the question, what is motion?
Changing place in time.
Good. And what is the change? What is it that changes? What is it that changes? What is it that changes?
You, the surroundings, perceptions.
At what point it changes?
The physical perception.
At what point does it change?
When you perceive that it has changed.
But now you examine. You perceive, yes. But examine. At what point has it changed? Is it really so? Only when you think it has changed, it has changed? No. No.
Nothing changed.
It's a great wisdom.
Nothing changes. It is also wisdom.
You examine the question, what change? The moment which is past is no more there. The present moment, before you catch it, is gone. What is it that has changed? That which is past doesn't exist anymore. See, it doesn't change. That which is now before you grasp it, is gone. The future has not yet come into existence. What is it that has changed?
It's the position of the self. Isn't that the way to play with words?
No. You are playing with the words now. I am not playing, I am only asking the question, what has changed?
No, but the word itself.
Pardon? What has changed? What is it that has changed? That which has changed has remained the same?
It's the same thing, but it's just transformed through.
You know, this is one of the great statements of Buddhism. Is there something that changes?
Unchangeable
cannot change at all. So your definition is wrong. It, that is the question. It. What is that it? That's exactly the question. What is that? What is it? Pardon? Yes? Oh, good. What is it? What is it that changes?
It can be the manifestation. It's always, I mean, everything.
But manifest is all the time moving. What is it?
Divine. So everything is that actually means. Because it says all this manifestation. Everything is pure. So it's just different manifestations of the same thing.
No, there is movement, but is there something that moves? That is a question. There is movement. Is there
some? At my level of consciousness, I move.
Pardon?
At my level of consciousness,
yes.
I move. At your level of consciousness, I can't be sure I move. It seems to be a question of level of consciousness.
No, you think you are moving.
So?
That's all. I'm only asking, is it a fact? You may be thinking, but that fact may not be according to your thinking. That is where the problem philosophically, the question is that you may think something is right, but philosophically it may not be right. And that's what I say. You think I know space, I know time. I think I know time. I think I know space. But is it really true that I know it? That's the question.
If you're it.
If you are... Yes?
At the same time we ask ourselves, we think we know ourselves.
What do you know?
I mean, in that sense, you know?
No.
If we are time and if we are space, then we don't even ask that question.
By not asking, you do not escape the reality. Darshan.
Which means seeing, no?
To see, to know.
To perceive?
To perceive.
And which means that what you perceive is not conceivable but experienceable.
That's right. What you conceive can also be perceived, but what you cannot conceive can also be perceived. So, to rise to that level where inconceivable is perceived. That is a great height of your spiritual experience. In other words, the reason why I took you to this exercise today and did not move forward did not go to verse number 5 was exactly to show that it is not easy or enough merely to read these sentences. We must have a sense of wonder about these statements. These are wonderful statements. Statements which invite us to wake up. Something is told to us, they strike our brain, our mind, and we are invited to make a journey. And that is the real purpose of Upanishad. A good teacher is one who invites you and throws you into a journey. It's a good teacher who just looks at you, speaks to you, or tells you something, and you are set on a journey. And that is a journey. And we shall continue this journey, actually. This is not the all, this is only the beginning of the journey of this Upanishad.